President Woolburn is absent today. Vice President Hickman?
Present.
You will be leading today's board meeting. Yes. Director Starr?
Here.
Director Moreland?
Here.
Director Wright?
Here.
Council Cooper?
Here.
Information System Manager Martinez?
Here.
Environmental Health and Safety Manager Perrin?
Here.
Finance Manager Wong?
Here.
Regulatory Compliance Manager McKillop?
Here.
Water Treatment Superintendent Shipman?
Here.
Our Power Division Manager Leon will be absent today. He is in the field at our powerhouses as we're working on our transition with CAISO on the transition from PG&E to NCPA. So I will speak to his staff report today. And of course, myself, General Manager Mosley, is present. After we perform the flag salute, we will have a brief statement, which is not on the agenda, around our Zoom audio and communications, and then we'll move in if you don't mind.
Let's pledge allegiance to God.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If I may request Art Martinez and Jamie Perrin to speak to our remote access, please.
We have had a few comments regarding the audio during our board meetings. We have, Jamie and I have both contacted Zoom. They've done an analysis on those users who have stated that they were having issues. Zoom has actually stated it is an issue with the end users' broadband connection. So it's their connection availability. They recommend that if those people with limited broadband capability are having issues, they dial in and call by phone because it eliminates that issue. So that was a recommendation from Zoom itself.
Okay, so thank you. Now, with that said, if I could ask who is online?
We have no one online.
No one online today. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. So it looks like we have the business item on here before we do approval of minutes.
Yes, thank you.
There we go.
So tab one business item is a subsequent resolution for Assembly Bill 361, which ties to the ability to perform remote monitoring meetings. So if you recall, last month, we adopted the resolution, and it needs a subsequent adoption every 30 days. We want to continue to offer that. We have the ability for you as directors to be able to participate remotely. So I'm requesting consideration for adoption to continue that for another 30 days.
Yeah, can't imagine a complaint about that.
Yeah.
Any concerns, comments? Questions? Okay, how are we doing this? In the form of a motion or just a...
It'd be a motion to adopt the resolution.
Again. So, do we have a motion to adopt resolution 2021-26A-10?
I'll second that motion.
Okay, we have a first and a second. So, those ayes?
Aye.
So four ayes, one absent. Looks like it continues on for 30 more days.
Thank you.
Okay, let's look at the approval of minutes. So we got that on tab two for Tuesday, October 26, 2021.
If I may make one comment, it appears that I misspelled a others present line on page one. The Kyla Rayden should actually be spelled R-A-Y-D-E-N, not R-Y-A-D-E-N. I apologize for that.
So, comments, questions, concerns? Looks accurate.
Yeah, all looks really good. I'd like to make a motion to approve the minutes as read.
With the spelling correction?
Yeah, with the spelling correction.
I'll second that. So any further comments, questions? Everybody was quoted correctly? The public, director, staff? Okay, we got first and second. Those in favor?
Aye.
So we got four ayes and one absent. So let's jump into checks and warrants. Steve.
Good afternoon, directors. So CD top three is where we're at right now. We'll jump right in. We have a number of items, or at least a couple of items, that are attached to project number 2021-0971. That's for our SCADA upgrade activity that we go and have going on, as well as other communication activities. So there's a number of expenses there, and you will see them again next month as well, keeping track of that. So just mention that. Staying on the first page, check number 60921 was a camper shell. That was for, in addition to our ComTech truck added on, that completes that project there. We have a big expense still on the first page, 60933, DeBoyth Hydro guide bearing oil coolers. That was for the Forbestown powerhouse.
Okay.
And that project comes in right at our estimates, oil guide bearing oil coolers. So that was a big expense. A little further down, 60939, I've asked John to give us a little bit of a description as to what this is all about, because I certainly don't understand what it's what it is. $1,036 to Borges and Mahoney, but John's available.
Yeah, so as you know, we feed chlorine gas at the plant, and it goes into a solution. And there's three different valves that control that solution, different injection points at the facility. And this is one of the bonnets that we had to purchase as backup parts for that system.
Like, just so interesting. There's all kinds of different things that I have no idea what they are, but we're paying for them, so I want to take some time to do that when we can. On the next page, near the bottom, 60984 was a payment to Constant Contact for our emails, blast service, is how we described it. But the artworks of that, and Art, maybe you can expand a little bit on that.
Absolutely. That is our method of being able to email out those customers who have opted in our list. So those that have signed up to receive information on the agency, potable and irrigation outages, subjects such as that, this is a service that allows us to push out mass emails without getting into trouble with email services being blacklisted and spam listed.
And that fee is a?
That's actually an annual fee.
Okay. Thank you.
And you may have received some of those emails, one or two over the past year as well. On page three, I'm going to ask John to help us out again. 61007 was a payment to Hawk Company. And again, one of those things that I can't even pronounce these things. But John, if you could help us out.
Sure. It's no problem at all. So Hawk is the brand name of all of our benchtop and online continuously monitoring equipment that we have inside of our laboratory. So these are some of the photo eye cells for our 1720E online turbidimeters.
Thank you, John.
Mm-hmm. What kind of a lifespan do we get out of this, John?
Probably 5 to 7 years. And that's, I think, for three of them, so.
And this was for three of them, or this was?
Yes.
Yes.
Three of the sensors.
Okay, we've got some legal services on there. Looks like those are dropping a bit.
They are, again, are you on 61009?
010, probably.
010 is my
Just the next line down.
010, thank you. Yeah, so the 24712, the bulk of those fees still tie to closed session items. So there's, you know, if we had no closed session items, and we will, our average run rate would probably be around $6,000 a month for general legal services throughout the month. So you can see the importance of getting closed session items.
And that concludes the items I wanted to highlight. Any other things from division managers or general manager?
I have no other items to point out this month or highlight.
I have to answer a question. I don't know if we'll answer questions, but.
Okay, questions, comments, concerns? Still no public online?
No public online.
No public. So all happening right here in this room. Fellow directors, comments, questions, concerns? Nothing. Okay. So do we have a motion? I shall make a motion. I move approval of expenditures for the month of October 2021 in the amount of $1,218,268.83 and authorize the transfer of $1.25 million from the TCB General Fund to the TCB Accounts Payable and Payroll Fund for the payment of regular operating expenses.
I'll second that.
Got a first, got a second. One more opportunity, questions, comments, concerns. Okay, those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Looks like four ayes and one not present. Okay, let's move on to staff reports.
Tab 4, just looking at our staff reports, pleased to report we're receiving money. We seem to be in a pattern here, receiving money from FEMA and Cal OES. These are not big dollars, any stretch of the imagination, but they are reimbursements for expenses incurred. Appreciate Jamie going to bat for us and filing all the necessary paperwork on that. So we have those dollars coming in, and that'll be have a similar type of amount to report to you next month as well. Just got some dollars in this month and the last week or so. Bringing before you a supplemental appropriation. Actually, this is only the second one we've done to formally adjust our budget to have pick up a number of, again, for us, minor type items. We're held off on a number of projects and purchases, but because of our financial situation, but with the PG&E settlement coming through and the water transfer coming through last month, gave us assurance that we could move ahead with some of these more important things that we could process even this month, this year. So this action or your review of this allows us to continue with those purchases. They were requested as part of the 2022 budget process, but there was adequate time for us to pull these in the current year. So that was the effort that we're making there. And then report, usually we will bring a budget, annual budget to you in the November meeting without a Finance Committee member, Director Wilburn, available for today. We just thought we'd go ahead and hold off on that until the December meeting, just to give adequate opportunity in case there were questions or other comments that come up between the directors and then anything else in addition to the staff. We did have a meeting back on November 10th, very productive, a couple hours worth between the Finance Committee members and the staff. And we worked through a number of things as I've identified there. We did make an adjustment as a result of that meeting, adding in an appropriation for continuing the effort on the reservoir assessments. So that was really brought up at the last board meeting. So we did that, and we'll see a budget in your December meeting as well. In terms of our finances, as we look right now, this is going through our activity through October. You can see on our graph on page one of my attachments, October
generation was good, better than average, as well as was the case in July, August, and September. So those, all of those things brought our financial numbers, our JFOF numbers up, and stabilized them. Just appreciated that. And you can see that on the next page on the graph. Our line for 2021 is still below average, but it's not, it's better than it has been in some past years. I'll just point out a couple of items on the actual numbers, the details on page 3. This is our JFOF financial report. The top line, our electricity sales, power generation through October, 15.191 million has generated in JFOF powerhouses. The November generation per DN will not be good. That'll be closer, will be less than average probably, and will be closer to just $1 million. December is a real, goes through up and down quite a bit, so we're not sure how that will come in either. At the bottom of that page 3, as we discussed in our budget meeting, and you will see this again next month, we are anticipating and planning the funds necessary to satisfy our obligation for the 2019 loan that was actually scheduled to go for another few years, but funds will be adequate to satisfy that obligation. And we'll get that paid off is our plan at this point. So that's the third line up from the bottom, 2019 installment purchase agreement principal, $5,000,075. That's the number I was referring to there. On page 4, there's a listing of some of them. A listing on capital projects. Of course, that actually takes pages 4 and 5, but highlight right in the middle on page 4, 2020-970, and then the one right below it, 971. Those are all projects that Dan is working on, as Rafe mentioned, out in the field even today. So you will see those dollars climb up closer to what our estimates and our budgets were. Of course, those were all essential to making our conversion come mid-December next month. The Cal ISO meters getting installed and our SCADA getting upgraded as well, that whole system. And with that, I'll conclude. Just one last comment for me, page 11. So I'm all the way near the end. This is a statement of cash and investments, your cash and your investments. As of October 31st, the top line there, our cash in our savings account, that is at was at $6,462,000. That is a bigger number than what we usually have. If you recall, in the last week of October, we received our payments from PG&E, with the settlement agreement, and so that brought in quite a sum of money for us. Was not able to get that invested by the end of the month, so I'm reporting that to you and including it on the line here. So it basically was just in a savings account earning minimal interest, so that's where that was. But that's the explanation of that. Usually that number is down closer to $250,000 to $350,000. So that's a quick rundown of financial activity. Any questions?
All kinds of good news in here, Steve.
Better than a few months ago, yes.
Oh, man. And I can even appreciate the $7,000 here. You know, you said it was a small amount, but you know, just looking at the typical monthly budget, you know, how all those small numbers add up to, you know, over $1 million in no time at all. And that 93.75 reimbursement rate, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
Yeah, fair enough, huh? Yeah.
think, Rue? Did you take a sharp pencil to this earlier?
That's good.
Well, the general fund is a problem still. I think you all know that. We have to work you back still. But
we're getting there, though.
Right.
This is all forward progress. Okay, questions, comments, concern? We have one public member now?
Correct.
Okay, Charles, your big opportunity to comment. Okay, no comments from the public, fellow directors, staff?
Charles, hand raised.
Please occupy, I didn't get it the button in time, I'm sorry.
They can hear you, Charles.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for letting me speak. Charles Sharp in Oregon Health. I kind of have figured out what's going on, and I'll try to inform you later on in a more direct way what's happening with everything and how it got to the situation we're in. Okay, that's all I have to say for now.
Okay, so Charles, we were just talking about the budget right now, so you're going to have a chance to comment in the public comment section as well.
Oh, well, I don't have anything to say about your budget.
That's good.
Okay, well, you know, compliments.
So. All right, thank you.
Thank you, Charles. Okay, so it looks good. No questions, comments, concerns. Thank you, Steve. Mm-hmm.
Item directors. Okay, so for power division operations, due to the hydrology over the last month or so, we were able to open the Slate Creek tunnel. So we did transfer water for 5 days from Slate Creek into our Sly Reservoir. So that's a positive thing. Anytime the flows are at a high enough rate during certain times of the year, we're able to do that and move water. So we did add some water through that process. If you look at asset performance, you can see that our utilization was awfully low. Steve briefly mentioned that, you know, November has been a heavy, heavy month with conversion, whether it's the CalISO conversions, it's the SCADA software, all the metering upgrades, etc. So we will have a relatively low revenue number for November, but it's all important and required as we move into our new power purchase agreement and end this calendar year from a CalISO standpoint as well. So that's why you see those utilization numbers down a bit. On page 2, that's where it really highlights that. If the bar graphs, if you're able to look at the numbers, you can see the available hours in the upper chart versus what we were dispatched at. But again, this was really heavily impacted by the conversions that we're doing right now with the project. In terms of maintenance, a couple things. The Woodleaf Powerhouse, we did have some emergency maintenance and a forced outage there to deal with some clogged water strainers. That was a result of the storm event. You'll hear that common theme as we go through all of operations, just continuing to work through debris and those types of things traveling through the waterways. In terms of other project assets, just a couple to highlight. We are preparing for the DSOD annual inspections. Kristen may or may not comment on that here in a moment. We'll see. We had a fair amount of annual maintenance around extensive brush clearing along Minor Trench Canal. So the debris between the burn scar and then the storm event that moved a lot of that debris downhill. We did make some repairs to some log booms at the Forbestown Diversion Reservoir. And a little bit farther down, again, what Dan's doing today is we're still performing wiring and installation of CalISO meters and cabinets, and getting all the communications to handshake and work between CalISO, NCPA, and self-care. Page 3 on projects, a couple to highlight there. The COM network project is pretty much complete, so ART had a major contribution in that portion of the communications. That is fully operational at this point as I stand here. The CalISO meter installation is still in process, and then again, for repeating myself, that's what Dan is working on right now. And then the CalISO RIG installation is also in process. RIG stands for Remote Intelligent Gateway, just in case you were curious about what that meant. It's not a vehicle. So again, all of this ties into all of our communication work. And then the SCADA replacement portion of the project is pretty much complete too. We're just working through a few minor punch list items there. Still recruiting for the hydro civil engineer, and we'll update you on any changes or status on that position or role. Any question on narrative before I move on to the data sets at all?
Oh, the hydro civil engineer recruitment.
Mm-hmm.
How many applications have you got? Have you got anybody?
So we had two so far. We had one that was handwritten on a blank piece of paper that wasn't even remotely qualified. Local individual, and then we had a second person of interest, but they actually perform more in administrative and project management type roles and haven't been performing from a civil engineer standpoint quite some time. I think some of the apprehension ties to the fact that you also function and sign as the chief dam safety engineer, and I think that that causes some people a little bit of concern, but ultimately all that responsibility, the buck stops on the GM, right? So I'm the one that really has to own that regardless of whose signatures are on those, but I think that's limiting the market space.
Yeah, you want the best people you can get, and in the past you've got it. It just puzzles me that there's many people out there that could do that job. Mm-hmm. Why aren't they coming?
Because they all have good jobs right now.
They do, don't they? They don't want to move.
Well, we'll get it. We'll get it filled.
You will.
But we also don't want to settle just for the sake of a vacancy.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors to it because of COVID and all the fires and the heat. Pretty soon, hopefully, this COVID will get taken away.
Yeah, and remember, a fair amount of employers are still allowing their employees to work remotely. You know, from the comfort of their home, they go out in the field and do that work and sit there. This position isn't that way, right? For critical infrastructure, what we do, you need to be here every day. And so I would think, you know, as the pandemic stuff settles down, people have to get back to commuting, getting back into the workplace. That might open up some folks interested as well. In terms of reservoir stream operations, I don't need to read through those. You can see where we're at through October. Powerhouse operations, you can see for the month of October what we produced by megawatt hours by powerhouse, totaling the $1.6 million. The next page, when you look at our storage for Littlegrass and Sly, both of those came up a little bit with the storms. Right now we're sitting between 74 and 78,000 acre feet of combined storage. So we're in an okay position. We're far from over from a drought standpoint. We need those numbers to climb. Right now, the forecast looks like, you know, December will also be relatively dry. We won't start seeing any significant moisture until January, February, but we all know how quickly things can change with one or two good storms. So.
It could get big.
Yeah, so 78,000 or so is not a bad position to be in right now. And then the final page six talks about the Northern Sierra precipitation. Dan started adding this to his report a couple months ago. So you can see our totals right now are 15.6 inches, so certainly far better than last year, but we expect that to climb and get somewhere in at least the mid-20s, hopefully, by the time we get through this season. Questions or comments on power division operations?
Thank you, Ray.
Kristen, you're up.
Good afternoon, directors.
Good afternoon.
Just to clarify one point, I think Dan's report referenced clearing sites for DSOD inspections, and that pertains to ongoing PMs that we do based on the feedback we get from their inspections. We actually conducted those inspections in October, so your meeting minutes in the beginning of your packet reflect that inspection update then. With regard to the water rights that we currently manage for beneficial use through all our agency's project, with dam safety, we are intending to publish a request for proposals next Wednesday to solicit an independent contractor to conduct our required FERC Part 12D safety inspections. There are a list of consultants that FERC has approved to conduct these activities, and so those will be targeted in the solicitation. And once we get to a point where we've reviewed all of those proposals and narrowed down that decision, those candidates will be presented to RAFE, and then a contract will come before this for approval. that's something that is a pretty extensive, it's an every 5 year inspection, and the multiple components of that process take into account any correspondence over the last 5 years from FERC and DSOD, so our federal and state regulatory agencies, review our supplemental technical information documents, our annual monitoring reports, all of the dam components that have instrumentation that's all monitored. And so this comprehensive review, and then what's called a PFMA session, a potential failure mode analysis session, where FERC and DSOD representatives attend with staff, and we look at all the potential opportunity for failure in any of the dam structures and appurtenant structures. And those are all incorporated for response in all of the O&M activity, as well as our emergency action planning efforts. And subsequent to that, we are also having our annual emergency action plan binder holder meeting next Wednesday. And so far we've gotten support from local folks planning to attend, which is ideal for us because those are the people we'll be interfacing with during an emergency. So it's always best to at least have them at the table. It's that time of year where all of the FERC project owners are trying to get their year-end reports done. And so there is actually another EAP meeting happening that same day. So attention has to be divided amongst Yuba Water Agency and ours. So with regard to our domestic water, the current curtailment was lifted in October. There has been a reimposition of that curtailment in certain watersheds throughout the state that has not been reinstated for the Sacramento San Joaquin Delta watershed under which we fall. We are still, however, required to do our monthly reporting. And if you recall, that reporting is for a look-ahead projection of diversions and then a reporting on the previous month's diversion. The state has decided that the reporting, they wanted to shift from a per water right reporting to a per diversion point reporting. So that took us from 7 reports to 25 separate reports. So pretty intensive reporting on that. They actually have not finalized the form, unless you've heard something otherwise, Destin, this week on the actual diversion. So we're waiting to hear for that. On that, last week they provided the updated projected diversions, and it was like a 5-day turnaround on the reporting for all of that additional reporting. So hopefully they give us a bit more time on the previous month's diversion reporting.
So is that 3.5 times the work?
Yes. Yeah. There was a heavy lift. Our hydrographer and I went through and correlated all of our diversion points to all of our gauging stations throughout the system. And so with that done, that component won't be required every month. But the fact that you have to go in and open and complete 25 separate forms is very time intensive. So that was just for the projected. And you also have to do that again for all of, I'm assuming, I have not seen what the final reporting requirement will be for the previous month diversion reporting, but if it is in fact another 25 sheets for each of those diversion points for your actual usage, it's a very significant amount of time. So.
And so how are they able to implement this 3.5 times cost increase on us, Dustin? Could you answer that?
Welcome to the state of California. I don't know how to answer.
That's why you now have a regulatory compliance staff.
So they can just arbitrarily change the requirements on us?
And they do it frequently. It's frequent. They do this. It's a kind of perpetual moving target, unfortunately.
And no agencies have tried to address this or tried to work through this on potential unnecessary time and expense burden?
No, they do. This is, unfortunately, many of the legal avenues have been unsuccessful. So there's been a shift to a more of a political argument. And the jury's still out as to whether that's successful or not. But this is the type of issue that an AQUA, which is this agency's a member of, or a NAQUA, Northern California Water Association, which we are not a member of, but they're the venues where effort is being made to try to bring some reasonableness to these mandates. Over the last 10 years, the state has just imposed incredible data collection and reporting requirements, just incredible. And the data that the state is receiving, they're not even managing. They don't even really utilize, in my opinion. It's always this effort for more and more and more and more data when they don't even have the tools or the understanding of the data they already have. So that's the political message that's being communicated, but again, I haven't seen success yet from our associations.
But our membership organization is aggressively pursuing this. We're getting the value out of our membership for this particular item.
Yeah, I think aggressively pursuing it, yes. Whether there's results that that satisfy the water agencies, that's where I would say I haven't seen it yet.
Okay, thank you.
Whether the state does anything with the data or not, they absolutely publicly shame anybody that does not submit their reports. They do a graphic every month and show how many people submitted and didn't, and they put a list together of everybody that doesn't submit the reporting. So
maybe that's the only parameter that they're actually tracking in all this, is the shame list?
They put a good bit of effort into it, it appears.
The naughty list. I like to refer to it as the naughty list.
Interesting.
So on to our Palermo project. There was a public town hall meeting last Wednesday evening that general manager and I attended, and the crux of that meeting was to solicit input from the community as the county and this agency moved together seeking funds, primarily the state revolving funds, as the initial biggest component of funding this project. The state would like to see that there is general interest from the public. They've had circumstances in the past where a great project's come forward and requested grant funds, and then once the funds are awarded, the community kind of rises up against it. And so they just want to ensure that if this is a project that they actually fund, that we don't have a large number of the community intending to come forward and protest once the work actually starts. And so we had a good turnout. We had great interest of those that were in attendance, and those that were attending were vocal about going back out into the community and presenting information. So at this point in time, the county now has a Palermo project specific portion of their website available to the public to access all of the information. They can access that letter of interest that can be submitted back to the county. And the hope is to just obtain as many of those letters of support from the community as possible before the end of December.
Great. That's a much needed project, because it's been way too long in the making.
Yeah.
And I just hope the public wakes up and keeps continuing to do that. Because these old wells are not good.
A true statement.
So Kristen, what could some possible opposition be to ending the crisis of people, drinking septic?
Well, I mean, there's always going to be a conspiracy theory with anything surrounding water. And so we've talked about in the past that this is not a true historical definition of water system consolidation, and Dustin and John can both speak to what that process has historically looked like. That was always historically looked at as, a larger water district absorbs a smaller water district that has solvency issues, water quality issues. They couldn't keep up with managing their system, and so a larger system adjacent to them would consolidate. This is a slightly different situation where you have the county has all the regulatory oversight with the constituents in Palermo, and because they are individual wells, this is a solution. And so it's a consolidation by annexation into our district. But because they're now moving into that realm of they're under the authority of an agency, there's some suspicion by some folks in the community and what is the actual intent and why is the county working with an agency to do some, you know, it's gone down a rabbit hole with some people in the community. And so I think it's the best thing we can do is have meetings like we did last Wednesday night where the people that are interested get all of their questions answered and then they can be ambassadors for the project out in the community and go out and kind of squelch that disinformation.
Because it's not just a public health crisis, but it's the property values.
Well, and I think people are realizing the tremendous opportunity for increased property values and what that looks like for them. As if it's a piece of property that's to generationally stay in their family, it's still an increased benefit if they want to sell. You know, the market is changing all over the country, and Palermo is no exception. And so the opportunity for people to have a larger home or expand or, you know, do anything on that parcel is completely limited by the fact that it's on a well and a septic. And so this is a huge opportunity outside of just the public health benefits. It's a pretty great opportunity for the public to take advantage of connecting to our system at no cost. No cost for the annexation, no cost for the connection, the infrastructure, any of the upfront costs. The intention would be that that's all going to be paid for with grant funds.
That is great.
I just can't imagine anybody opposing this. Anybody being that uninformed, that out of touch with reality, that just would be baffling.
Social media perpetuates those kinds of things.
Yeah. How many parcels would annex?
We have existing 100. There would be another 390, so a total of 490 for the complete project area if we get funding.
That's really good news.
And we had a lot of people that are actually outside of what the existing defined project boundary is that attended the meeting, and so we do have significant interest just on the other side of the street and even, you know, streets, several streets out of the project area.
It's
so
continued, which it probably will, and there'll be other ones. These people really need to step it up. They run out of water and wells, it's not good.
No.
And a lot of it's polluted, so this is a big thing. It's really great.
Yeah. And I don't have any updates on irrigation or recreation this month, but if you have any questions on any of the items that I did present, I can answer those for you.
Okay, more great news.
Oh, I'm sorry. I almost forgot. Speaking of great news, that the DWR grant application was submitted last Friday morning, and we should hopefully have some word from the state on where we fall in that process by before the end of the year, if not the beginning of the year. I did hear that there was significantly more interest, which is always the case. The state always seems to be surprised when they're handing out money that people drop everything and apply for funds. So there were over 250 applicants for that funding, and there were 460 urban water suppliers eligible, and there were 250 applications received. So the money will go quickly. Hopefully we're on the funding list.
And tell us again, how much were we asking for?
$840,000.
And we figured that would suit our needs for these problems we're going after?
Well, it's a start. And, you know, when you've got X number of dollars to be divided amongst those 460 eligible agencies, you know, we kind of looked at it as, okay, where do we look like we're not asking for too much, but we're asking for enough to make meaningful impact in a water loss control program. So,
gotcha. But tell me again, how far is that 840 going to go?
That is going to cover hydrant, 80 locks for hydrants. It's going to be 400 replacement meters, and it would be a project management component and then a GIS system development and upgrades. What else?
Water loss and leaks.
Oh yeah, the leak loss detection. Sorry, there's a significant chunk of money for doing the leak surveys in the three defined areas we submitted.
So this would get us, this would be our seed money to get us started with all these programs.
Yes.
And from there, we would be able to just absorb it into our normal operations.
Yeah, and hopefully at some point, you know, we did talk about some of the things that we need to look at as multiple components of that kind of a program moving forward, and certainly consideration of water rates and the solvency aspect is something that has to be considered by the agency in order to apply for most any other types of grant funds. So we would certainly like to augment our, you know, our general fund budget with as many grant opportunities as possible. So there's, you know, multiple moving pieces and parts that we need to look at to see where we can bring in funds from the state and other grant opportunities where we can.
Thank you. Questions for Chris? Thank you.
Thank you. Great job.
Hello again, directors. For Water Division, update on domestic operations. You can see that our production was down a little bit. We're at 153 million gallons for the month of October. Bangor was about 525,000. And the Red Hawk Ranch raw water pump station continues to produce, and the residents out there are drawing off that system. So it was somewhere over 560,000 gallons during the month. So continue to be used even during kind of the wet periods, which would make sense for that type of land, crop types, et cetera. You can see the trend chart. You can see as the weather cools down, you can see the trend starts to slow down on actual demand. People aren't watering their yards, things like that, nearly as much. One of the big projects that took place at the treatment facility during this last month was maintenance work on the homogenization tank float by adding legs to improve stability and reduce rotation when at the bottom of the tank. You're probably wondering what a homogenization tank is. So it's mainly intended to stabilize flow and the waste load. Am I correct, John?
Yes.
Nice. So anyway, so we performed some relatively large maintenance on that tank there at the facility, and now it's functioning well with that design, right?
Yes.
And that was all internally designed and then implemented. On the following page, for district-wide operations, the team was pretty busy on the distribution side, replacing some raw water piping near Southville out in the Plano area this month. We replaced actually several hundred feet of piping. This is raw water pipe, not domestic water. Very aged material. I looked at some of it yesterday, and I would say with all the holes in that pipe, it was probably 50% plugged with debris materials, wood, mud, etc. So very low flow from that standpoint. And those types of efforts and projects tie into what Kristen was referring to on water loss programs, etc. So we'll need to track and measure what we did there, obviously. On this one, there's still probably a couple thousand feet of aging infrastructure that we need to replace over the next year or two out there, but we did tackle a really bad spot and get that addressed. Again, similar to Power Division, the stormwater events have the team pretty busy on debris removal efforts, and you see that if you kind of look within our respective areas and locations on the chart below, removing trees in a number of locations. We only installed one new service during this last month, so that dropped off a bit. We did have three leak repairs, but you can see a fair amount of maintenance, debris cleanup, etc., and then trees, and they were oaks this storm event. You know, normally we see great pines that fall through the project. I think coupled with the drought and that storm event, it turned into oaks. So we're dealing with a lot of oaks that uprooted and dropped. And we will continue to be removing and cleaning up trees, not just debris, but trees well into January throughout the project. In terms of other ancillary topics here, the Water Division mechanic vacancy, an offer was extended and accepted to fill that position. And so we anticipate the mechanic onboarding here in the next couple of few weeks. I participated actually for the first time in the Butte County Interdepartmental Review Committee. And what that is Butte County, when they have the Planning Commission looking at lot subdivisions, properties, etc., they will invite any entities that may have input or require will serve letters, etc., participate. So myself and Loapud and Cal Fire all participated this month in that program, and there were really two that were reviewed, the Titus L. Feather. The first is a four parcel split on Kelly Ridge Road that will be served by four individual meters and backflows. It's a good thing we participated because the actual submission to the Planning Commission, the proposal was for wells and septic. And there's domestic line right there, a main line, and then there's also, not to speak for Loapud, but there's also sewer service on the backs of the property. So by our participation, that turns into domestic service right up the hill from our treatment facility. So pretty important we're involved with those to make sure that everyone understands that and shifts that. So that's a win for us. That'll be four more system capacity fees, four more meters drawn off our system.
So just hypothetically on that, Ray, we would not have been involved? Could that have went down the path of wells and septics? When would that have been caught?
I'm not sure. That's an excellent question. Because
the environmental health permitting would probably not have allowed it if there are utility services available.
Yeah, I mean, it's an excellent question. And that leads into the next one, which ties into public works. So the second was a 12-parcel split, but it requires easements, hydrants, regulator vaults, mainline upsize to serve a location, etc. And that particular one, even though it was out of place for South Feather, asked questions about roadways and easements, etc., on the roads and those right-of-ways. And so that one, similar to what Kristen just communicated, pushed, even though it didn't directly tie to water, pushed to Public Works to understand the roadways, etc. So I'm not really sure, because it was my first time participating, how that sequence of events takes place. But certainly it's important that we're at the table on these. I would consider both were extremely important to review. Nice. Just want to give you an update there. Sierra Heights Phase 2, that's the senior living apartments that are up the hill, just directly behind us here at the Orville location. Phase 2 is exactly what it implies. It's a second phase of construction of apartments. So we did receive the funding to perform the work, and I had put approximately $47,000. That actually came in at $62,000 to perform this work. And Steve, I'm correct, that check was received, right?
Right.
Good thing, because we're doing work today on it. So we're out there pouring concrete pads, doing the installations, getting the 2-inch meter sets and the 4-inch fire service, et cetera, installed. So that will be another pull, a good pull. I think it's over 100 apartments that will continue to draw water and pull off of our domestic system. So again, good news, we're continuing to grow within the district.
It's a master meter, right?
It is. That's correct.
2-inch meter?
Correct.
For 100 units?
That's right.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Remember, senior living, and you look at their actual demand, pretty low usage, you know, it's usually one individual per apartment, et cetera, pretty frugal with their water use. And then 4-inch to meet all the fire flow requirements. Next, just a quick highlight, North Yuba Water District, obviously we'll talk in more detail in closed session, but I just wanted to highlight here that North Yuba did submit under a case number, it's a new case number because it's moved to Sutter County versus Butte County, demand for inspection for a total of 78 data sets. So we'll be working on how to accomplish that because those data sets are from January 1, 2010 through present, so 11 years worth of data. 78 individual types of requests for 11 years. So we'll begin strategies and we're working through how to accomplish that. And then there was also an amended complaint under the same case number for 6 complaints in total against South Feather. Both these documents can be viewed on South Feather's website under our North Yuba Water District tab, or they're available on Sutter County Public Records if you're interested in more detailed information on those. A couple of you board directors actually subscribe to this magazine, or actually 3 of you will have to get Director Wright onto this one, but I felt it was worth highlighting, but the California Special Districts magazine, which you have in front of you, the communication specialist published an excellent article titled Cooperation Among Water Agencies Brings Wave of Success. How can your agency ride the wave? I'd really encourage you to read that article and go through it, because it kind of talks about and breaks down primarily in 3 steps, what collectively water agencies should be doing together in the state of California. And what's nice about it, if you read the article and you'll see it, that South Feather has adopted and been following this model for some time, and it's nice to see that cooperation is being accepted throughout the state. So good article, ties into what we've been doing all along. Hope others choose to get involved and participate, water agency or water agency, through that type of process. Water storage strategy. So we spoke about this a fair amount last month at our board meeting. Since that time, multiple meetings have been conducted on how to approach adding water storage and conveyance within our existing sphere of influence. The agency interfaced with a number of groups. We interfaced with the executive director for Sites Reservoir. Very good conversation, learned a lot there. Interfaced with AdVision, it's an engineering consultant water resource firm. They're actually working on a proposal to put in front of the board on helping us and assisting us through that transition of the who's and how's. And then I also spoke with the president of Northern California Water Association, and so collectively tried to take all of that information through those entities, which are all really important in the state of California around water conveyance and storage, and start to try to build a plan to see if there's something that South Feather could do. In addition to that, we also studied some documentation through the California Water Commission. This is around conveyance to meet climate changes, water briefing, state legislation work, and then the state of California Department of Insurance, so back to mitigation wildfire risk plans and how we can leverage that process also into, you know, potential options for added storage. So what did we learn? You know, if you look at the three different folks we talked to at the top directly, we learned that early engagement with stakeholders is critical for success. So public outreach would need to be a top priority through this process to explain to people why we're doing this and why it's important, whether it's from wildfire risk to increased storage to manage drought conditions, climate needs, etc. We were told that a two-part approach should be embraced. There should be a fact-finding stage, then a fail-flow analysis of that. That is actually what the AdVision group is working on for us, or will be working on. And then there's types of storage that will become critically important that we'll be discussing with the support of some outside sources. And that's whether or not we're looking to do in-stream storage, off-stream storage, regulating reservoirs near conveyance or stock ponds, or a combination of all. And each of them have their own complexities and success factors associated with them. So we will learn together with those that work and do this within the state. And then what are our targeted needs? Are we looking for wildlife refuge, agriculture, groundwater recharge, banking, et cetera? What is our intended target? Why are we doing it? So the scope analysis would be to put together a financial pro forma, so source of funding, how would we accomplish it? Is land acquisition necessary in order to add storage? Of course, construction, estimated construction fees, dams, conveyance, etc. Environmental impact review and CEQA work. And I cannot underestimate under the scope analysis item C under conveyance. So the one thing that I learned, particularly with Sites Reservoir Project, is they will tell you that the single thing that probably helped move that $800 plus million dollar program along was the fact that of about 160 or 180 miles of conveyance, only 10 miles needed to be constructed. The rest could be repurposed and reused. So we should probably be thinking in that mindset too, right? When we identify storage locations and work with folks, how do we tie into existing conveyance and maybe improve it or whatever, versus the process of just saying, well, we're gonna have to build on the conveyance. We wanna be strategic. Now, an agency of our age and history has a lot of open conveyance opportunities that maybe with shotcrete, those types of things, could do that very thing. But I think that was one of my biggest takeaways, is success really ties to your ability to convey the water as well as just stock it. So, proposed task order from the vision is to be worked on. I did receive an email, I think Director Moreland did as well. The person that was working on that had an emergency, so there's about a 3-week delay in getting that to us. So once that gets produced, I can present that. We can ask that individual, it's probably the better answer to present and speak to the group. Let you guys ask good questions that I likely do not have the answers to as we work through that journey. So let's get that proposal in front of us, see what those costs look like, and then we'll just try to keep this an active topic and see where it takes us.
Okay, this area is going to grow. And this next year, Highway 70 from Oroville to Marysville is going to get redone. And my son-in-law from DeSilva Gates just told me that they got the bid. It's a 300,000-ton asphalt. That's a lot of work.
Are you sharing something that shouldn't be shared right now?
Well, I might have to go back to work and help them kids. But once that road's done, Highway 70's completed, you got a good road to get to this town. So people are going to come. They're going to be looking at Laramo, Bangor, Honeycutt, all these little mountain communities, and all they need is water. And this town is really, really growing. Downtown's looking great. All these businesses are filling up again.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's a single debate that increased water storage is a good thing.
Yeah.
As long as it's coupled with conveyance and it's targeted for the right reasons.
Now, the timing is right after these fires and floods, and then you got hopefully this infrastructure from the federal government.
Yep.
Will go, and you might get some funds from that. Good, exciting times coming up.
Yeah. So we'll just keep on the throttle here, and hopefully it brings us to something good. And then just a real quick reminder that our December board meeting was moved up 1 week, so it will be on December 21st. I know, Director Wright, you have a bit of a conflict with City of Orville board meeting. Sounds like maybe you participated at the beginning and maybe have to step out depending on how long the meeting goes. I will try to format, if it's okay with Vice President Hickman, our agenda for December, that if there's any real critical business items or anything like that, we move them up on the agenda so Director Wright can participate. Does that sound acceptable?
December 21st?
December 21st.
Okay. I better write it right now.
Any other questions or comments for me on the staff report? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Well, it looks like we've got a business item to follow that up. Steve, you're going to
work with us on that.
It's exciting times, isn't it? So, this is not exciting. Probably not exciting. This request for approval certified public accountants choosing, making a selection, and allowing us to get started in the audit of our financial reports for this year, and then the next 2 years after that. Our recommendation is to go with a firm, Edick and Brown, certified public accountants. Our approach was to send out by direct email to 18 other firms doing business with water and power type agencies, other special districts, other local governments here in Northern California, and then we got these responses. Our previous firm, Richards and Company, actually did quite a few of other water and power agencies, so they were eliminated from our pool, and that limited our number of responses as well. But I've got a recommended action that if I could, but any questions as well?
So only 2 out of 18 responded?
Yeah.
So we actually, business must be brisk.
Yeah, we did get inquiries. So we did get some inquiries, but actual responses that came back, exactly.
So is that unusual, Steve?
Well, we don't do this, except for every 3 or 5 years, so
we've got more responses. Right.
Do you recall 3 years ago how many formal submissions we received? I was going to look that up before.
Yeah, it was about 6.
Yeah, so it was 3 times as many as this. It was 6 versus 2 just 3 years ago. Wow.
So is that just coincidence, or is there something going on in the industry?
COVID.
I have a theory.
It's almost easier for them because they could do audits, but we did them all virtual last year, so they don't even have to come to your site anymore.
It's remote, yeah.
What's the theory?
I have a theory that any good auditing firm is going to look at your public records, and when they see an initiated lawsuit by a neighboring agency and no documentation around meeting and conferring and those types of things, probably makes them apprehensive, wondering what are we potentially stepping into. So if you're a risk-averse firm, you may choose not to if you don't need work.
That's a great point.
Unfortunately.
Yes.
reviewed both in detail, not that you've asked. Frankly, I don't know if one really stands out over the other. I can see why Steve and his group selected Fiddick and Brown, because they have a few more clients that are tied to this type of utility district experience, etc. So I don't know if it's a big general debate. What I will tell you is I think that while I agree that we need to shift away from Richardson, I don't know if either of these candidates that submitted proposals are that much farther above Richardson, the company, etc. So I think either way, you're not going to go wrong on how you choose to go today.
Okay. Questions, comments, concerns? Public? Fellow directors? Staff?
Did you ever work with him, Steve?
Have not. We did check some references, and they came back fine. They came back positive.
What other methods of research would we have other than references? Google stars? How else would you?
It's not a Yelp kind of thing, so, but we did check their websites and their final audits produced. So we did do a review of those. They look fine.
And is there like a clearinghouse list of complaints on firms like this? If there was something we needed to know, where would that be revealed?
Yeah, that comes out in the peer review letter, which is partially part of the package that they submitted. A review by other accounting firms who come in and independently look at their practices in prior audits. But it's a pretty general type response, but they passed. But if there was a concern, that would be the place that it would be reported as a weakness, or that they had those weaknesses.
And would there be some kind of federal clearinghouse if one of these firms was involved in something that was, you know, a little deeper?
I'm not aware of it. I don't know. Director Wright, aware of a federal?
I guess you could look them up on the State Board of Accountancy and see if their licenses are good or they have any marks against their individual licenses.
I mean, are there any agencies, government agencies, that follow up on their certifications?
State Board of Accountancy.
That's correct, yeah. The State Board would. But all reports are submitted, and they go through the State Controller's Office as well. So,
if they had a problem, their license wouldn't be valid. So you can just check their license, and sometimes there's notes.
Okay. And Ray, you've dug in deep?
You know, I would, deep's a relative term. I mean, I looked at Mosquito Vector, I talked to Oakdale, just curious, looked to see if there was any, negative information available out there online, didn't find anything. But honestly, financial auditors, that's not like a shiny penny, right? I think they just kind of exist, to be honest with you. I don't think they're real flashy. So it's hard to say. The one thing I think is interesting and worth a try is use someone in Southern California, which this group is, you know, Riverside versus the Sacramento area. You know, the Sacramento firms all kind of know each other and go to lunch together, get a sack, those kinds of things. Why not? I mean, let's give it a shot.
Yeah, I would question peer reviews and some of the other things I've heard related to this. The only thing I guess I'm concerned about is only two applications, which
I was shocked.
Yes.
And as I thought through it, I said, well, maybe I see one.
And that makes sense. I just can't imagine all of these agencies that flush with cash where they would go after another opportunity.
And Steve, we're requesting approval for a 3-year audit cycle, correct?
Correct.
But we don't have to commit each year. It's a year over year commitment, or we can.
Yeah, there's a standard provision for if there's disagreement.
So if we don't want to mutually separate, right. We solicit again. So that eases my.
I like that option as well. Okay, further comments, questions, concerns? Are we ready for a motion? I I move acceptance of the audit proposal from Feedback Brown LLP Certified Public Accounts and authorization for them to perform the agency's annual independent audit for the years ending December 31st, 2021 through 2023 in accordance with their proposal. Got a first and a second. One more chance. Questions, comments, concerns? Okay, let's put it to a vote. Aye?
Aye.
So four ayes and one absent. Thank you. Thank you, Steve. Okay, what do we got? One more business item there?
All right, so today's request, if you guys want to go ahead and flip to the third page in the TAC, this is a commitment to excellence plan through AquaJKIA, which is our insurance provider in addition to general risk management services. So safety training, they come and do on-site visits with us. You could probably describe it as consulting to some extent. Networking, sharing of best practices, educational updates on new laws and regulations. In addition to that, there is a risk management grant that AquaJPIA also offers once a year to its members. And what I am asking for today is for the board to consider moving forward and signing off on the commitment to excellence that will enter staff into this campaign that then makes us eligible for a $10,000 grant. In this particular place, the grant is written and ready to go at a value of $10,000 for radio reads specific to safety hazards. So historically, out of a operations account, staff typically puts aside an estimated $30,000 where radio reads are put in for things like new construction, new connections, when they go out and do total meter replacements, those types of things. Meter readers will often come in, not often, I shouldn't say often, but do come in occasionally and express concerns through hazard identification measures. It could be, aggressive dogs. It could be security issues around some of the properties and what their extracurricular activities may be. It could be not a ton of shoulder room on some of the highways and some of the locations, not easily accessible for them to pull off, those types of things. This would allow us an opportunity to proceed, and at the cost of $300 for a typical 3/4 inch Badger meter and an $80 in a ERT, which is the radio read technology, that would give us about 33 new units that then with the maintenance foreman, with Zenaida Martinez, and sit down with the respective meter readers, we would be able to identify what has typically been called a wish list, get these properties, go out, do some evaluation, and try to put them to best use and remove their interface with those associated hazards. So again, the commitment to excellence is just kind of the key that then allows that risk grant submittal to be fully submitted. As you can see with the Commitment to Excellence page, best practices can come in varying categories. You have vehicle losses, which we could acknowledge ties back again to meter reading. You could argue infrastructure related losses as well. So really it kind of runs the whole gamut with what you see up there. However, in this particular case, the agency we're looking to pursue under the vehicle losses specifically, and through updating best practices that actually tied back to some of my budget requests leading into 2022 with updating things like DMV pull program and other kind of varying elements as we continue to update policies and procedures leading into the next year.
Jamie, I may have provided you poor advice. So I know that the commitment to excellence the form needs all five board director signatures.
Correct.
My question to council is, does the resolution then require?
No. No, just requires unanimous, or excuse me, majority consent.
So if the majority consented today, we could still collect if
Rick
Goldberg was okay, he could then sign the commitment excellence form.
Yes,
thank you.
And I did call knowing that President Wilburn would not be available, and we did talk about moving this into December just for logistical purposes. However, Aqua JPI reassured that even if we went ahead and submitted by the December 1 deadline, we could always come back with the 5 full signatures of this particular page at a later date. Not the ideal submittal, but definitely doable.
So the aggressive dogs portion you mentioned. So we're talking about customers' aggressive dogs. We don't have any dogs on staff.
No. So this would basically be trained. Yeah, we have no dogs now. Maybe cats might be another one. I don't know if you see them floating around, but definitely no agency dogs, at least that I'm aware of. You know, kind of the old habits of them literally carrying milk bones in their pockets. We've tried to actually deter and get away from that, because then the dogs recognize and then start viewing them as treats, and what that's associated to, and actually can pose a higher risk if they no longer or forget the milk bones. So we're actually trying to get away from that practice. But yes, we have had meter readers come up and have pretty lengthy discussion around, you know, unfortunate events or interactions with aggressive dogs.
We'd be able to use these funds to tailor fit that to one property, like say one property that had aggressive dogs, do a remote reading station on that, or would this cover the whole block?
So this would take care of up to 33 respective parcels.
Per meter.
So it's $300 per meter. So with $10,000 at the maximum grant opportunity, rough calculations say we would be able to outfit 33 hazard exposed, you know, exposure identified parcels. And again, whether that's through lack of appropriate parking and has them pulling off in less than desirable areas, whether that's aggressive dog bites, whether that's, again, parcels where personal security could become into question as a result, again, of what folks may be participating in. You know, these are all common things that occur for these guys when they're out there.
It's a very interesting concept, individually targeted properties for upgrades.
Yeah, and really, I would like to just highlight that this is a function of the meter readers being proactive, and while funds haven't always allowed us to make good, this is really our opportunity to start a new page. And I'd really like to also highlight Zenaida Martinez as a maintenance foreman for not just accepting the wish list, and that's how it's always been, really wanted to seek solutions and came and we talked a lot about this, and this was our best case action now, submit. Should be a fairly small process, especially compared to some of the larger state process, to go out and get this done. So very much driven from the field up, which is always my personal favorite, because I think you have more commitment that way.
Okay, this all sounds great. Questions, comments, concerns? Okay, nothing. Okay, so how are we doing this? How are we reading this?
You're just going to motion to approve Resolution 21-23-11, and then get your ayes.
Okay, we're going to keep it that simple. Okay, so do I have a motion? Okay, I'll make a motion to approve Resolution 21-23-11. Ayes in favor?
Aye.
That's 4 with 1 absent.
Thank you.
So, Jamie, how did you want to capture these signatures?
We'll have a loose document, and at the end, I'll bring one down, and
we'll do that today.
Collect signatures, yeah.
Okay. At recess, could you change to Todd Hickman, Vice President, for the signature page of the resolution?
Yep. We'll get those adjusted, and then once President Wilburn is back, we'll be sure to get him as the 5th signature, and then get this submitted to Aqua JPI.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jamie. Okay, so we have the business items addressed. It looks like we have some public comment. Public. We just have Charles still. Charles?
Yes, he turns his hand. He can hear you now, Charles.
Well, give me a time to turn on the video. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So, in 2017, two of the county's water agency directors not satisfied with the first 800 CFS in Slate Creek decided they wanted all the water. That and the water district manager of dubious integrity has led to the situation we have now. I've written a book-sized story, West Devil Water District, and I'll send you a link. Thank you.
Thank
also, I would like to know that reference to the cooperation among the water agencies. I kind of missed that. Maybe Greg could send that to me or something. I'll ask him. But anyway, thank you.
Thank you, Charles. Nobody else is online. No further comment. Nobody sent anything, texted anything.
Nothing online and nothing as of 3:21.
Okay, looks like we've closed out the public comment section for today. We're going to jump into director's reports before we go into closed section. Director's reports. Who's going to start us off today? John, you want to start?
Okay.
I don't have much today. Holiday week, so I hope everybody has a great holiday. And it looks like we're making good progress to get the holiday week started today.
Thank you. Two items. And number one, it's getting cold, it's getting wet, and it eventually it's going to freeze. Safety, safety, safety. All you employees, please be careful. And the other issue is a really good one. I was looking on the computer one day, and I found a little article about the hidden secrets of small towns. And guess what came up? A hidden lake. Little Grass Valley Reservoir was listed as one of the prettiest places in California to go. And we all forget where we came from with the floods, the fires, and the COVID. But we have a really beautiful area. And hopefully this COVID will go away and the fires won't burn us out. Next year, hoping for a good time again. And have happy holidays. Everybody be careful. That's all I got.
Excellent. Thank you, Dennis. So that
I'm going to add that. It's amazing how nice Little Grass Valley is, and it never is that busy up there. Compared to Bucks Lake or other locations, there's always a lot of people.
Shh, don't tell me more, John, please.
I don't want to tell you. There's murders up there and everything else. We made it into a nice location. It's a nice, nice place to go.
Oh, it's beautiful up there. A hidden secret.
Excellent. Okay, thank you everybody for all the reports, all the info, all the good stuff we heard about today. And this concludes the open session portion of our meeting today. Let's take a 2-minute recess and then we'll jump into closed session.
There is an opportunity for public comment on closed session items.
Oh yes, my bad. So open it back up real fast and public comment on closed session items. All right, we have anybody left?
Charles is still online, nothing.
Charles got it all out?
I think so.
Okay, excellent.
Nothing in the inbox as of 3:24.
Okay, so let's note that. No public comment today on the closed session item, so let's close the regularly scheduled open meeting and 2-minute recess. Thank you. Okay, so this closes out the closed session agenda items, and I would like to report that direction was given. Now we're going to open up the open session again. Give one more chance for whatever needs to be said. Report a closed session items. Again, direction was given. Nothing else to be said. Only once, twice, adjournment.
I'm out of